have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
What's up, family? It's me, Jerry Rose, live worldwide from Positive Power Double XI, and you're listening to Elations Radio with Kimmy Kim.
10:30 p.m. at night. It must be time for The Voice with your host, Apostle Vincent L. Smith. God bless you, and we are here tonight, amen, to bring to you another great week of study of the Word. Amen. We are so grateful tonight, amen, to be on this podcast again. And we're looking for God to speak great things, do great things, and just be great in our lives. Well, before we get to moving too far and doing too much, let me check the line tonight. And let's see who's ready to do the soul train. Hallelujah. Amen. Tonight I want to stand in the show me state in the East St. Louis. Let's go to that wonderful young lady, Kimmy. Kim, are you here tonight, my wonderful producer?
Well, it's in the building, and I just want to say that thank you so much for having me on today.
Well, God bless you. You had a wonderful day.
I had a blessed day. It's been really good. Well, as they say, God is so good. Amen.
Yeah, you sound like you feel like running on. Hallelujah.
Amen. To see what the end will be. Amen.
Oh, my. Let us go to, amen, Indianapolis, Indiana, and let's see if we got a connection over there in Corntown. Amen. Let's see if the Pastor Anna Henderson is with us tonight.
Good evening. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. I'm so glad to be a part on tonight.
Amen. The Lord bless you. Amen. And save a couple of ears for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let us now, amen, we're praying for our brother, and I don't know if he's here tonight or not. He's on mission in Haiti. And but I'll just check the air to see, because he likes to sneak in. Amen. I will see if that fellow from Upper Marlboro, Maryland, is on the line tonight. The Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr. Are you here with us, brother, or are you still tied in the mission? Okay, we don't hear from him, but we're praying for you, my brother. You're in our hearts. Hallelujah. Come on, give us a hand clap. Amen. Now we're going down there where they make good peach cobbler, peach pie. Amen. They even make peach dumplings. Hallelujah. And there's a guy down there. He be tasting all this and won't send us none. He just repent. But I love him anyway. His name is Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr. Are you with us tonight, man?
Man of God. You talking about the peach cobbler and the peach pie and all the good stuff that they make with the peach. The problem is I don't taste it. All they try to do is give me the peach bottoms, and I don't want them. Hallelujah. But I'm glad to be here on The Voice in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. And we thank God on tonight. Well, before we waste any more time, not that we're wasting time, but before we let time get away from us, what we're going to do tonight, I'm going to ask Kimmy Kim to give us prayer, and then Pastor Henderson will read our scripture, and then I will take about 15, 20 minutes and lay out the carpet, and then we will come back after another brief song and get into our discussion for the night. And it's going to be real good. Don't go nowhere. Don't miss it. We got some good stuff to tell you tonight. Amen. Kimmy Kim is anointed. Pastor Henderson is on fire. And that Apostle Whitlow is just like the atomic bomb. You don't want to miss what they have to say. Amen. And I'm just going to hang Amen. In with them. And do what I can while I can in Jesus' name. All right. Amen. Kimmy Kim, come on, give us prayer.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me on tonight. Father God, thank you once again for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Father God, for another successful podcast on divorce. Father God, let it be about you. Decrease us, put more of your ways, more of your precepts, Father God. We thank you for being a waymaker, a peacemaker, and our friend. Thank you for giving us opportunity to understand what is true love, and you are our true love. And Father God, as we continue on this wonderful podcast, we pray that those who don't know you can be touched and let them know that, you know, living for you is right and holy and is the only way. So, I thank you so much for Pastor Apostle Smith and Urban Whitlow and Pastor Henderson for breaking bread on tonight with me as well, little Kimmy Kim. So, Father God, we thank you. We thank you for purpose living. We thank you for the word. And we most importantly thank you for Jesus Christ. And we will make these prayers in your son Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Amen. Just before you read, Pastor Henderson, I meant to check the line. Amen. There was another friend of mine that was supposed to come on the line tonight. Amen. Also down there in that Peach City. Amen. Are you here tonight, Sister Marva? All right. I guess she didn't make it. Sometimes the pillow call them before we get on. Amen. And they have to talk to their pastor, Bishop Sheets. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we want to just recognize those that should be on. Amen. All right, Pastor Henderson, give us the word of God.
Amen. Our scripture reading will be found in Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 38. Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him the twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. But he make his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth the rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute the brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I read in your hearing Matthew the 5th chapter, starting with verse 38 through verse 48, in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. Now, let me lay a little something out for you, and then we're going to come back. Amen. And it's going to be on and popping like popcorn in the microwave, because y'all don't know about the oven no more. Amen. It's going to be on and popping. The way popcorn. All right. Now, we heard this scripture, and for the last 2 weeks, we have been gathering on the air, talking from the entitlement, Are You Saved Enough? This is not a question of judgment, but it is a question on how do you deal with certain situations as a child of God. Now, it is almost funny, ironic, that today, sitting in the church, I get a call from my cousin. I live in New Haven, Connecticut. She's way down in a little town called Bladenboro, North Carolina. She called me and said, look, I just called to share this with you. She said, it may not seem big, she said, but for some reason, I felt like I needed to share it with you. Let me lay it out for you. She got up this morning, got herself together, and took her dogs to the pet company to get them groomed. But her bigger dog was acting lazy, like he didn't want to move, and just really aggravating her day. She finally gets the dog in the groomers. They're having a nice time. The dogs are getting groomed. And, you know, she's just sitting there relaxing, waiting till they got through. So they finally call her, let her know they were ready, and she paid her bill. Headed out the door, she said, another lady headed out the door at the same time. She gets to the truck. Now the dog wants to start acting up again. And she says she got one in and got the situated, and then the other dog went to acting up again. Like it didn't, first it didn't act like it didn't want to get out the truck. Now it's acting like it didn't want to get back in the truck. And so in her frustration with the dog, she went and picked the dog up and sort of shoved him on the truck. But when she shoved him on the truck, when she went to close the hutch on the back, she didn't know that the dog's foot was sitting in the doorway. When she came down, when she came up with the hut, it sort of caught the dog's foot, and the dog hollered. I know y'all saying this thing ain't making no sense yet. But here's what happened. She caught the dog's foot, or paw, as we would say. And then the dog hollered. Now a woman sitting in her car who had nothing to do with the situation. When the dog hollered, she yelled out, you closed his deep foot in the thing. Not a very nice thing to say. She could have said to her, you didn't see the dog's paws. You got it caught in the door, but she yells out, you got the deep foot caught in the door. What's wrong with you? Are you some kind of animal punisher? And my cousin said, being already aggravated, she released the door, got the paw out, got the dog situated. She said, now I'm hot. She said, I walked towards the car. She said, and at that moment, I was feeling like letting my family away come out of my mouth. She said, but when I got to the car, she said, the woman still carried on. She said, but when I opened my mouth, the only thing the Spirit would let me say, I love you and I'm praying for you, that God will work a miracle in your life. She said, the woman said, and I need a miracle. She said, yeah, I'm going to be praying that God give you one. She said, and then as I got ready to walk off, she said something else, Mark. The enemy will try you. Then she said something else, Mark. She said, and I turned. She said, because I'm aggravated now. She said, and I turned to say something else that was going to shock her. She said, by this time, I wanted to say, mind, do y'all know that that word, amen, that everybody uses now because you're children of God and don't know that you're still cussing? She said, I wanted to tell her then, go mind your freaking business. She said, but when my mouth came open, she said, once again, the Lord spoke out of her mouth and said, I'm going to love you, and I'm really going to be praying that God does something wonderful for you. She said, and I went back to my car, got in my car, drove off. She said, and while I was riding, she said, I just began to praise God. She said, because Lord, you know, in my mind, I was pulling that white woman through her window and telling her some stuff while I was stomping and kicking. She said, because she had no business in my affairs, and it's not in the mannerism that she did. People of God, this is why you must not just say you're saved, but you must live the life of salvation, and the Holy Ghost must be active. I didn't say acting. I said the Holy Ghost must be active inside of you, because the enemy will try you in any means or form that he can. As I close this out, just to see how saved are you. Oh, no, no. It ain't about taking your tongues from you. It's not about removing your dance. It's not even about you stop lifting up your hands. But think about it. Got to throw this out there for you, too. My cousin is saved and Holy Ghost filled. Okay? Let me twist that around one more time. She's saved and the Holy Ghost filled and a preacher. Uh-oh. Let me twist it around one more time. is going to be a good donut here. She saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, a preacher and a pastor. Now, if she had done what her flesh was saying, it would have been all in the newspaper. Pastor beats up white woman. Dog sister. And that would have been an embarrassment to her walk with God, her preach ministry, and her pastorate. And she's only been pastoring 5 years. So you know the enemy would use that to try to close her ministry down. Because that lady would have told the newspaper, she's an animal abuser. Oh, you know that would have stirred up something. And then she would have beat up a white woman in the South. Oh, Lord. And then her witness would have been dead. I said to her, you think you're just calling to be calling just to share that? I said, but you don't know what our podcast has been about the last couple of weeks. And I begin to share with her week one. And then I begin to share with her a little bit about last week. And she said to me, oh, my Lord. She said, if I hadn't let the Holy Ghost take me another way, she said, I would have been shamed to find out that I did not pass the test after hearing what y'all have been studying. I'm telling you, enemy is slick. Oh, yeah, I'm going to say it again. The enemy is slick. And the Bible says, be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, spelled it right out for you. Your adversary, the devil, going about as, A-S. Look up that word. You'll find out. Almost like tender. He said, as a roaring lion, seeking, that's the real deal, seeking whom he may devour. He want to mess you up. He want to tear you up. He want to beat you down. But guess what? The Bible said, from such, stay away. Carry you tonight. As we get ready for another moment of song, and then all these different fired up people is coming on the line and going to bless your socks off while I just sit back and ask them questions every now and then. They don't need no gasoline. They don't need no charcoal starter. They're already fired up. So I want to end this by saying tonight, or at least this portion, stay prayed up. Stay alert. Because the enemy has all kind of ways of trying to catch you off guard. And if you're not in tune, you're going to wind up being off tune and acting off key. So pay attention to the story tonight and listen at our lesson very well. God is speaking to you through the voice tonight. Kimmy Kim, give us a nice song of praise.
Thank you. can't make it on my own, and I know I really need you. I'm really longing for you, really yearning for you. Holy Spirit, take my hand, I'll follow. Lord,
your situation, in your circumstance, in your life, period. We need the Lord right now. And so tonight, we thank God for the song. And now as we go back in with our panel, amen, after hearing the opening scenario, I'm going to give each one of you a chance to hone in about a situation or about that situation and tell me what you heard and minister to the people about our walk with God and how you have to be careful. I think tonight I want to start with Pastor Henderson, and then I'm going to go to Apostle Whitlow, and then Kimmy Kim, you can give us your thought at the last. Let's start in that way.
And then as listening to the opening statement, I was just thinking that as believers, you know, that we have a responsibility to reflect Christ in every situation that we find ourselves in. And even though we may find ourselves in precarious situations from time to time, in difficult situations of conflict, it is also our responsibility as a born-again believer to make sure that we demonstrate Christ in our attitude, in our conduct, in what we say, and how we respond to every given situation. The Lord says that we are the light of the world, and so we are supposed to be bright lights in a dark world. So from time to time, we encounter conflict situations, and we have to be ready and prepared to know how to respond to those situations at all times. And I'm sure we all can identify with situations that we have found ourselves in where we had to approach it in a manner that was acceptable to the Lord and not to ourselves. Oftentimes when we are in conversations or in conflict, we're dealing with ourselves versus the renewed self, the renewed man, and we are born again. So in that born again identity, we are to reflect the conduct and the practice of Christ in our in what we say and what we think. And so as you were saying that, I was just kind of reflecting on situations similar in that regard to something that I had encountered years back in the workplace, and just being able to have the right words to say to that person, and by being able to continue to reflect Christ in my behavior, in my conduct, being able to say positive things, be able to say the things that as I was listening to the Holy Spirit to say, and not allowing my flesh to be to be in a negative response, you know, that person and the winning that Christ person to the Lord. So it's just important to as a believer to remember who we are, that we have an identity, that we have a responsibility. You know, one of the birthmarks of a Christian is change, you know, when we receive the Lord in our life. The Lord Jesus makes us different. You know, we're different on how we think and what we say, our conduct, all of that changes. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that, you know, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. So we're new, and we should be operating out of that new man. And we have a responsibility as believers to reflect that newness so that we can win somebody who is in the darkness and not allow ourselves to try to defend ourselves or to get into a place where God is not glorified. And I think that should be the first thing, you know, that we think about is that is God being glorified in this situation? And, you know, our responsibility should always be that other person to be able to win that person, whether it be to be silent, whether it be to have a word for that person. But in our thoughts and in our thinking, it should always be coming from that renewed self, that renewed person, and that is consider that person the way Christ would consider that person. And so it's just important that we keep ourselves in a place where we are prayed up, as you said. Keep ourselves in a place where we're full of the word. Keep ourselves in a place where we're always remembering that we are light. You know, we have a responsibility to Christ. You know, it's not about ourselves making ourselves look good or feel good because we were able to tell somebody off or because we gave them, as some would say, a piece of my mind. You know, that should not be the mindset of a believer, because where was God glorified at in that situation? So, you know, always keeping the Lord first in all that you do and what you're saying. When you stay full of the word, you stay prayed up, you go through your day with the Lord on your mind, then the Lord will give you how to conduct yourself. He will give you what to say. And it shouldn't be that you're saying one thing and thinking another, because I think they both kind of go together. I think if you're thinking, you know, God's got a purpose for this. You know, if you're thinking with the mind of Christ, then your thinking and your words are going to kind of reflect the same. But if you're thinking one thing, sometimes it often comes out in what you say. So I think keeping your mind stayed on the Lord, staying prayed up, staying in a place where you can remember that you have a responsibility to Christ, to represent him, that you're his eyes, his feet, his hands, and the earth realm. It helps you to keep perspective of your identity and what is expected out of you. So that's my thought on that, is just remember who we are. Because when you know who you are, you know who you're not. You know that you're not that person who is negative, and you're not that person who cusses out of one side of your mouth and, you know, have these thoughts of beating someone down on another side. You know, I mean, your whole mind and set and your whole agenda is different because you have a new spirit now. So once you are fully in Christ, your thoughts, your conduct, all that is new. And I believe God helps us to stay in that vein. When we mature in him, stay in him, he grows us up and teaches us how to stay in that vein of righteousness.
There's two things I need y'all to write down that I'm going to come back to that she said. I want y'all to write down, it was in your head. This is what came to me. It was in your head does not reach your mouth. Does that give the Spirit a better opportunity to use your mouth? Think on that. And then she said, you got the note in O-W. You got to know the voice of God. Write those two things down. We're going to come back to that. Apostle Whitlow, give us your synopsis on what was the opening statement.
Well, I think the thing that stands out to me most is that this individual wanted to say what they wanted to say. They kept telling themselves, even rehearsing, I'm going to say it this way. And every time they made their initial approach to say it, the Lord would step in. So I believe that when you learn how to submit to what God wants, he'll step into your conversation so that it is not you, but it's his voice, which I believe a lot of people are missing. You know, we have so many people who all say, oh, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. I'm going to tell you what I think and what I feel, and that's just it. But this individual kept thinking in that manner, oh, I'm going to say what I want to say because I'm big and bad enough. I'm grown enough too. Yeah, so I'm going to say what I want. But the more they tried, the more the Spirit of the Lord convicted that mouth. And not only convicted, well, let me say it this way. The Spirit of the Lord convicted that heart and conditioned that mouth. Oh, that's a big, very, very big difference. When the Spirit of the Lord convicts your heart, then the rest of you have to follow through. Therefore, your mouth becomes conditioned to say what the Spirit of the Lord says, and not what everybody else thinks. So I think that becomes what's most important, and I think that stands out most to me. I can tell you, because I could see myself wanting to say what I want to say. Sometimes I want to tell people off. Ooh, they try me. They get on my reserve nerve, make me want to pull my hair out. And I want to tell them a thing or two. To tell the truth, sometimes I just want to straight up cuss. Can I be transparent? I want to cuss and say a good old-fashioned four-letter word. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm talking about bus, you know, stuff like that. That's what I'm talking about. And the Lord has come in and settle me, convict that heart, and my mouth becomes conditioned. All of a sudden, I'm saying something that is, if you will, encouraging, something that is comforting, something that builds up, something that helps to edify and exhort. But that's what happens. It is not you who speaks in that very hour. It is the Holy Spirit who speaks through you. So therefore, this is how you know you start growing in your salvation. Because all of a sudden, you no longer want to say that which pleases you. You want to say that which pleases God. So the Holy Spirit convicts your heart and then conditions your mouth. I'm gonna pull over right there.
All right. Now, let's write that down. The conviction of the heart. That straightens out your mouth. The conviction of the heart that straightens out your mouth. All right, Kimmy Kim, come on, girl. I know you're running with your sneakers.
Now, you have me after these powerful speakers. Come on in.
I agree
with what's just said. I agree with Pastor Henderson as well as Apostle Irvin Whitlow. And I just want to add, basically, I got a good word in on today at work while working. And a pastor said that a lot of people believe, but they're not receiving Jesus. Now, you must receive him. Because we have a lot of believers who say they're Christian, but their lifestyle are a little bit different. So your lifestyle really has to reflect those that is, of course, we, you know, fall short, but at the same time, there should be some type of, you know, a new man, a new thing, because I have always thought that growing up, people said you're not supposed to do this, do this. So as I mature in the Lord, over the years, I realized that no matter who you are, you fall short. But the difference is, are you receiving Jesus? Because when you receive Jesus, like Apostle Irvin Whitlow says, you get convicted. And then like Pastor Henderson said, you are a new creature. You are a new creation, and everything are passing away. So I think you're becoming new every day, because I'm not going to be the same person as I was on yesterday, because God may have given me another revelation. So as you walk in this life as a believer, you must not only believe on Jesus, but receive him. And he says that faith is based on diligently seeking after him, his ways, because Jesus is the only way. Unfortunately, we do have some believers who tend to want the things of the world more so than the things of God. And that's not of God either, because he says, if you love the world, you're not none of me. You must hate the world, because we're not in this world, but we are of the world. And so we must be careful on our lifestyle and not allow the culture of the world to dictate the body of believers. And I was really blessed with that word on today, because good people will go to hell. So that's not what's going to get you in the doors. It's more so, have you received Jesus? Have you believed on Jesus? and that will get you that well done verdict. So that will be my that would be what I would say about the opening as it relates to your wonderful message.
Okay. So now from Kim and Kim, I want y'all to write down, because she always talking about she ain't got nothing, and then she tried to blow us out the water, because she started out talking about imposters. That's what she started out talking about, was imposters. And so let's try to take these things that I pulled out, talk about a little bit. Excuse me. And while I'm doing that, all your listeners, if there be any, need you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to jump back in our scripture from last week after we get through. We're looking at a couple of things here. We're going back to Matthew chapter 5, at which Apostle Whitlow is going to take us in the Amplified on it this week. We looked at it through the King James, but we're going to amplify it this week and really show you some things. All right. So that first thing I want to look at, amen, was the second thing that I said Henderson had brought out. What was that second thing I said she said? Nobody wrote it down. Oh, I'm not getting no help.
Henderson mentioned that you must be a new creation, a new creator, and you must be authentic with your walk. And that is what I received.
All right. Here's the first thing she said. You got to know the voice. When you're in a situation that is trying to drag you the wrong way, she said, the first thing she said is, you have to know the voice. What in the world does that mean, my wonderful friend?
Well, when you talk about knowing the voice, you talk about the voice of the Lord. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. But the way to know the voice is to be in constant communication with the Lord. So it becomes hard to know the voice of the Lord when you have, if you will, given a deaf ear to the voice of the Lord. But when you are willing to discern what is of God and what is foreign to God, it becomes easy to determine what his voice is and what his voice is saying.
Wait a minute. You must be mixed up. Because I thought when she said you got to know the voice, she was talking about the podcast.
No, not that voice. Although that voice will point you to me voice.
Oh.
And not that other voice.
So there's more than one voice.
Oh, there's a bunch
of them. That is A voice and B voice.
Plus the other voice.
Are you trying to tell me there's A voice and B voice?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
There are both.
My God.
You got the voice.
Now I want to tap into this other thing. Because that statement was hot. And I don't think she knows how hot it was. That if your head and your heart don't connect, your mouth won't speak some of the craziness that come to it. Kim, you want to jump on that?
I agree. That's why David wrote that song, "Create in Me a Clean Heart and renew the Right Spirit," because it's a daily ritual. It says also, I believe that's in one of the epistles, to think of these things that are true, things that are honorable, holy, because what you put into your mind goes to your heart and becomes who you are. So that's why I tell people, you don't have to really say a lot. Just listen to people, and you know where they are. You know where they stand. And it's based on their action. And most of the time, their actions are based on what they say. And it's so, so important that you understand that the true being of a person starts in the mind. The battle begins in the mind. Everything begins in the mind. And guess who reads your mind? God knows your mind, but the devil don't. And so that's why it's important that we definitely feed our minds with the word, not with what we heard or not what grandma or Medea had taught us about the Lord. We must go to the Lord for ourselves. And so that begins in reading the word. And so I really believe what you feed your mind comes out of the heart, becomes who you are as a person.
Pastor Anna, since you started this, please tell us, what is the significance of the mind and the heart, and how does it come about that if the mind and the heart don't get together, your mouth can do that God wants? Tell us about that mind and heart. Get off of you.
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so within your heart comes out of your mouth. And so what we put in us, what we digest, what we meditate on, what we allow in our heart, in our mind, so a man thinketh, so is he. So our mind and our heart is all connected. And so the Bible tells us, to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, to have the attitude, to have the mindset of Christ. And how do you get that? It's through the word of God, meditating day and night in his word, staying in his presence. As Apostle Whitlow said, staying where you can hear his voice, because there are many voices in the world today. But as you stay close to the Lord, you become sensitive to hear his voice. And we have to pray in these days that we have our spiritual ears open so that we can hear the voice of God, because our God is a speaking God and he's constantly speaking to us. But if we have our minds wrapped up in TV and wrapped up in, you know, gadgets and, you know, all these things that's getting the attention away from the Lord, you're spending more time in worldly things than you do with making contact and communication with your God, then you're not going to be more sensitive to hear his voice. But God wants his people to hear his voice, and he's constantly speaking to us. He's speaking to us. And so we have to keep our ears open, but our mind and our heart is all tied together. You know, what we think comes out of our heart, you know, what we're saying. And so it all has a connection. You know, if you have the Lord on your mind, you have his word on your mind, you know, it's in your heart. The Bible says, how can you hear, you know, without a preacher? We hear that word. Our faith is developed, you know, by hearing the word. And so as we continue to stay in his word and meditate in his word, as he has told us to do, to abide in him, his word abiding us, he's constantly telling us in his word to allow his word to take root in our hearts. When we do these things, then our conduct and our attitude, our disposition is transformed by the word. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. So when our mind is renewed, our conduct is different. The way we see things is different. The way we feel about how we feel about things is different. Our life is transformed on a daily basis by the word of God. And so what we put in, what we meditate on, is transforming our life every day. Every day that we are taking in something, every day, whether it's the news, whether it's something we see, whether it's something we sit and think about. But every day we are taking in something. So whatever you meditate on, whatever you allow yourself to absorb in, it becomes a part of you. And so God wants us to meditate on his word, meditate on what he has said about us, meditate on how he desires us to conduct ourselves as his representative. As we begin to see ourselves in light of God's word, then our life becomes transformed and we're able to conduct ourselves, have the thoughts that he would have us to have, because the word is changing us day by day.
I thought somewhere in the, it might have been the Chinese Bible. I don't know. It could have been the Japanese Bible. But I thought somewhere in there, I thought I saw it said something about Christ who keeps your heart and mind. I don't know. I think the reason why people get off kilter is because they have not given their heart and mind over to the keeper. I could be wrong. Told y'all I got that, I think, from the Chinese or either Japanese Bible, but amen, somebody talk to me because I could be off. Whitlow, I know you're waiting to say something, standing back quiet. Come on.
I was kind of trying to give it to let the ladies do some talking tonight. But you've got to give your mind over to Christ. Matter of fact, the Bible does say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. And so when we allow him to have the mind, then the mind can actually be in a place where it actually thinks right.
So going back to our scenario tonight, then we got to get into scripture. I got two more things we pulled out earlier, then we got to get into scripture. So therefore, there was a change inward that helped her through the outward situation this afternoon. Is that what I'm hearing? Somebody, anybody?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
So
there has to be an inward to help you out there.
Thank you. Because if there had been no true inward change, I might have been telling y'all a different story tonight about this wonderful, and I'm going to use it as the world would use it, about this wonderful, supposed to be saved, supposed to be preacher, supposed to be pastor. When you are conditioned by the Holy Spirit, not only to stay away from sex, alcohol, drugs, that's all deliverance. That's all being set free by the power of God. But after we are saved, then the enemy comes. Ain't that what Jesus told the disciples? He said, you're going to get the Holy Ghost. He said, but Satan is coming. Don't think because you got the Holy Ghost, Satan is through with you. That's when he's really coming. Oh, you done got the Holy Ghost? Okay. Let me see how you can deal with this. Let me see how you can work with this. But Jesus told us, he said, don't worry about him. Why? Because I've already overcome him. Oh, my God. That was some good stuff right there. I'll tell you, Jesus has already told us, don't you worry about the stuff that Satan throw at you. He said, because he's already defeated. I took care of him already. That's why for myself, that's why I don't understand in church for testimony time when these folks get up and spend 10 and 12 minutes talking about what the devil did to them. All right, let me get out of that. Hallelujah. But keeping it, he said, I'll keep your heart and your mind. How? By Christ Jesus. So if you would turn your heart and mind over to Jesus, you can be kept. And when situations like today arise, if your heart and mind is given over to God, when you got ready to go and say one thing, and that was a blessing to me. She kept saying every time I got ready to respond to something, when I opened up my mouth, it came out of my spirit, not out of my head. And then I was able to get in my car and go on about my business. Glory to God. Now, Kim had the nerve to say, she said something about, there are some out there that act like they're saved, act like they're in God, but they're not. Kim had the nerve to talk about imposters. And that's why they cannot control themselves when certain situations arise. Who want to tell me something about imposters? Amen. Sound like Henderson trying to tear up her phone to tell me about imposters. Don't break the phone. Don't break the phone. Just come off and mute and talk to me. Tell me about an imposter. What does that have to do with what we're talking about tonight?
Well, I'm going to talk about it from this perspective. I'm going to call them believers and born-again believers because there is a difference from this perspective that there are some who believe on the Lord Jesus, but a real follower of Jesus is one who obeys him. The Bible says even the enemy knows, you know, and believes. And there's a difference. There's a difference in a person who just says, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there's no obedience that follows that confession. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes into your life and you are truly born again and you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you are made a new creation. And so you're not just a believer now. You now have the ability to change. And so there's a difference between just saying, I believe the word of God, but then the situations come about. You know, you're acting totally opposite of what you say you believe. Because as a Christian, as a born-again believer, and Christian means to be Christ-like, that means you have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead who quickens your mortal body and makes you a new creation in Christ Jesus. That means you're new now. So your whole attitude, your nature has changed. And so when your nature changed, you have no problem following the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, a lot of times people are comfortable just saying, I believe the word. I believe Jesus. I go to church. And, you know, going to church doesn't make you a believer. There are a lot of people who sit in church every day, you know, and every week, but they are not followers of Jesus. They come, and they may believe the word, and they may even love the Lord. But are you born again? And are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And are you obedient to his commands? Because if you're not obeying Christ, you're not a believer, and you're not a Christian. So just to say that you're a believer doesn't mean that you're a follower of Christ. And so I think that's what makes the difference. And so in every congregation, the church of the baptized believers, you know, baptized believers in Christ Jesus, you're in Christ Jesus. Just because you're in a congregation doesn't necessarily mean that you're a part of the body of Christ. And sometimes people see two people coming out, you know, of a service, they say, okay, and they lump everybody in the same boat. But everybody in the congregation is not saved just because you come to church, because you can sing good, because you have this talent, you have this ability to do this. But are you born again? Are you obeying the word of the Lord? Are you following his commands? Are you living holy? Are you sacrificing? Are you being that servant? You know, has your identity changed? Because when you're a Christian, your identity, the old man, how you used to handle things is not the same. And sometimes what happens is that the world looks at people who go into a building and they equate, because they go there and they're faithful, maybe for years, they equate that individual with a born-again believer. And so they see this person in the club on Saturday and Friday night, and they come in church on Sunday and says, okay, all those Christians over there are just, you know, they're fake. But they're looking at one person who may be a believer in contrast to somebody who's born again. So it does not reflect the glory of God, because what they're doing does not reflect the Christian lifestyle of a born-again believer. So there is a difference. I don't know if you want to call them imposters, but I will say that you have a believer and you have one who's born again. And there is a significant difference. And there's a significant difference for one who obeys the commands of the Lord and is striving to obey him and to live a life separate from the world and living a life that pleases God, versus a person who's just comfortable saying, I'm a believer, and they take out what they want to believe. And those, because when you believe, you're going to obey. You know, when you believe Jesus, you're going to obey his command. And so you're asking the Lord in situations, Lord, I believe you, so how do I handle this situation? What should my attitude be in this situation? And as a mature person in Christ who's born again, you're constantly seeking the Lord on how should I handle this as your representative. What, you know, what should I do? How should I do this? And God gives us instruction in his word. But some people are comfortable just being a believer because they're not willing to sacrifice their old nature. They're not willing to obey. They're not willing to be different. They want to be a believer, but they want to be who they are and have all the things that are attached to the old man. And that's the difference. There's a difference between a believer and a born-again individual. And that's my thought on that.
When you think about imposter, what you think about is identity fraud. It's a form of fraud in which someone to be someone else by assuming that person's identity, typically in order to access resources or obtain credit and other benefits in that person's name. So what I'm saying is that these who are claiming to be so-called Christians, what they're trying to do is access the benefits and the blessings and the things that God, and the favors and the graces and the anointings that God has released to those who are truly saved. They're trying to access the wisdom and revelation of those who are truly saved. The problem is, it's not authentic because it's not of God. That's why you have people, and we're going, and this is probably going somewhere you don't want to go, but that's why you have people who are involved in divination, in spiritualism, and necromancy and Ouija boards and crystal balls and seances and so on, because what they're doing is they are trying to duplicate the lifestyle of a born-again believer. So they are imposters because they practice identity fraud.
Okay. I want to add to that a simple phrase from the late Dad Hagen. He said, you have the confession, but you don't have the possession. And therefore, that makes you an imposter. Because we can confess, but there must be a change. And we begin to live the life of the born again, the life of the changed sinner into the life of the believer. So confession by itself is not going to work. I said here in church for a long time, I said, all of you that have confession and have never possessed indwelling spirit of God, I said, I'm not going to say you're not saved or that you have not made a change, but you're not fully in here yet. I said, you're dangling, but you need to grab a hope. You can either come all the way in or go all the way out. And God knows, I love this statement. It was from my own father, and I've said it on the podcast many times. He said one of the worst things you can do is keep coming to church and go to hell right from the pews. And I'm sorry to say tonight, but there's a lot of people in that category. They're coming, they're faithful, but they don't possess what they need. And they're sitting in the pews, clapping their hands, thumping, they're even getting up, dancing and all that, and dancing right on the way to hell. You've got to have a change. You've got to be Holy Ghost filled. Amen. Now, there was one more that Apostle Urban brought out, but my mind won't let me go there, or even the Spirit is telling me to get on in this scripture. Amen. Now, last week, we talked about verse 38, Matthew chapter 5. Talked about that eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And I gave the example, if I punch somebody in the eye out of meanness, it does not make it right. Now, out of emotion, we can do a whole lot of stuff. But if I punch somebody in the eye, does not make it right for them to then turn and punch me in my eye. It does not make it right if somebody knocked one of your teeth out, you say, okay, you knocked out one of mine, I'm going to knock out two of yours. And really that verse talks about foolish revenge. I'm going to get you because you got me. That's foolish revenge. Or to better say it, fool's revenge. I'm going to do something to you because you did something to me. I told y'all last week about Steve Harvey on that case. Don't trip. God ain't through with me yet. He said his neighbor messed with his son. He said, and on the way to his neighbor's house, he was trying to think of a way to be spiritual when the neighbor came to the door, but yet deal with the situation. He said the neighbor opens the door. Yeah, what do you want? How can I help you? Like nothing happened. He said, I said something shocking to him. He said, I told him, mess with my son again, I'm coming over here and kill everybody in your house. Jesus wept. I want you to understand, out of his emotion for his son, he went over in a anger that he could not get under control. Why? Because when you confess and don't possess, your flesh is still in charge. Uh-oh. Your flesh still has power to do as it will. And that's what happened. In that moment, even though he threw his little Jesus wept in there just trying to say something biblical, but he had already messed up with his statement. Don't let it happen to you. Don't let it happen to you. Pastor Whitlaw, I need to check with you. Are you running Facebook tonight?
No, sir, I'm not.
Okay, we need somebody to run that Facebook. Amen. Might be somebody out there wanted to ask us some questions. Amen. So next week, let's make sure somebody's hooked up with Facebook. Okay, then we got into the next verse where we found out something very important. And I need Apostle Whitlow to read that 39th verse of Matthew chapter 5 from that Amplified. This is really going to mess somebody up.
Matthew 5:39 says, "But I say to you," Jesus is speaking, "but I say to you, do not resist an evil person who insults you or violate your rights. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other toward him also. Simply ignore insignificant insults or trivial losses, and do not bother to retaliate. Maintain your dignity, your self-respect, your poise."
So therefore, for years, when we've been telling folk, if they smack you in your cheek, honey, just turn the other cheek. That was an off statement. And most of us know we wasn't going to do that no how. Not according to the way they were saying it. You know, if somebody smack you on one side of your face, they better be running down the block when they get through. And I don't care how many levels of tongues we speak in and how much we read the word. Somebody walk up and haul off and smack you for no reason, honey, they better be long gone by the time you get your head back together. But the Bible, I'm just being truthful. I'm just being truthful. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be super spiritual on that, not even for myself. Because I had a friend of mine that did that one time, smacked me for no cause, and I ain't going to tell y'all no lie. I chased her all up and down the street because she would get ready to get a smack, and I don't hit women. Don't y'all get me wrong. But don't smack me because it sends me to another place. And God knows with these heavy hands of mine, she was getting ready to feel the fire. I want you to, oh, that's no song. Hallelujah. All right. But I want you to understand that this scripture in the Amplified tells us is not about being smacked physically. I better say that again.
Come on.
It's not about a physical smack that Jesus is saying, turn the other cheek. Because there isn't one of us on this line. Yes, I spoke for everybody on here. Somebody walked up and hauled off and smacked you for no cause. Amen. I feel sorry for him. As wonderfully saved as we are, I feel sorry for them in that moment. But in the explanation of the Amplified, it says to us that when this person or evil doer come into our lives to challenge our walk with God. Now see, it's starting to take on a different meaning now. This smack on the cheek has nothing to do with a hand meeting meat. It has to do with a person who is coming up to you thinking that they can challenge you in a wrong way. Some of y'all starting to breathe easier already. Amen. It has to do, amen, with a challenge that comes before you. Where have you ever been talking to somebody and they said something so sharp, you said, my God, they'd have been better off smacking me. That's the kind of thing this scripture is talking about. When they come to you with such a sharp statement or such a shocking statement that it seems like you've been smacked on one cheek, it really is saying you ain't got to stand there and turn the other cheek and be insulted again. But what did it tell us to do? Know how to walk away. Know how to leave the situation. Know how, in the grace of God, to let them be to themselves. Now, my father taught me years ago. He said, son, if you don't know how to fight, he said, the best fight you can ever have is the one you ran from. Now, others of you might disagree on the line, but what he was telling me was, it's better to leave the fight scene than to stand there and act like you can fight and get beat down. Sometimes we just got to learn how to leave that situation right where it's at, right where it started. Whatever they're saying, whatever they're doing, leave it alone and don't pick it up later. Don't pick it up tomorrow. If you see them next week, don't bring it back up. Oh, well, you know, I could respond that day, but let me respond to you now. No, you get ready to stir up the fire again. Is teaching us that if you have been smacked with a situation, you don't have to be crazy and offer your other cheek. You don't have to stand there and be abused, but learn how to move or remove yourself from that situation in the grace and peace of God. Somebody talk to me. Oh, everybody just so happy. Talk to me, Kim and Jim.
I think.
Oh, go ahead, Bob. And then I'll hear from you, Kim.
I think it's very urgent to understand how to ignore insults. Because the Lord says they're insignificant. The reason I believe he says it's insignificant, because it doesn't compare to what he says about you or what he thinks about you. So when you know what God says about you, when you know what God thinks about you, then you don't have to be bothered by those who say something else that is not even who you are, doesn't relate to you. It doesn't identify you. It doesn't validate you. It doesn't put you on a pedestal. It don't even put you to the ground. It's simply insignificant. So since it's insignificant, it should be just like water on a duck's back. It's just going to run right off. Ignore it.
Now, there's a problem there, Apostle Whitlow, and I'm going to hear from Kim and Kim. There's a problem there. And I'm going to throw it out, and I'm going to let Kim talk. Here's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The saints of the day are too nosy to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know.
Well.
I'm going to find out what's being said. I'm going to find out what. Have you ever seen two saints in a heated discussion, and then here goes somebody else? Ooh, I'm going to move a little closer. I want to see what's happening. You're supposed to go over and tell them, all right, people of God, let's break this up, and y'all take a deep breath and just go on home, because we don't need this. But they go over talking about, I'm going to what's happening. You're an instigator and a troublemaker. All right, come on, give me Kim.
Well, I can just say, wow. One thing I've come to realize about a real believer, you would see the light and you would see something peculiar about that person. And that is one thing that you can't fake. It's just like saying that, you know, when you see like some earrings and you know that's not 100% diamonds, it's a copy. So it's kind of hard to copy, you know, a relationship with God, because when you know whose you are and who you are, that light will be contagious. People will want to know what's so different about you. And that's why we must continue on praying for those who are being fake, because at the end of the day, I'm still reminded that all knees will bow and all tongues will confess that Jesus is Lord. And so I'm speaking of people who said they know God, not those who are lost. I'm speaking of the church. We must stop playing church, you know. We tell the kids to stop playing church, but we're playing church. And so when you play in church, you don't grow. You become that lukewarm believer. And Jesus, God said he doesn't like lukewarm. You make him sick, and he spit you out. He vomits on those. Basically, it makes him sick. And I'm still trying to imagine God being sick. But anyways. But, yeah, but I really believe that when you are a believer, your heart is pure. You have the fruit of the Spirit, the characteristics of the Spirit. You have love in your heart. It's not about you. You're not trying to get the gospel to pimp it so that people can know who you are instead of knowing who Jesus is. You have some people who are using the gospel to finance their lifestyle. But I'm still reminded that Jesus didn't have a home. He wants those who are doing his work definitely compensated. But you have those who are just like millionaires, and they are continually growing in the funding piece, but they're not helping those. We see so many homeless people. You have these leaders who are so rich in the gospel that they become so much like the world. So they become really, I really believe sometimes when people are so, so above like money, and they're not really focusing on the true purpose, which is feeding the sheep that God has given them or minister to the souls, that they lose themselves. And so that's why you have to pray for those as well. And so that would be my input. A lot of the people who are really copying, they are thin because they don't have the true love in their hearts. We have a true love of Jesus in your heart. You feel him. You want him. And you cannot take your money with you, because I'm still reminded also, as I reflect on Genesis, how Adam and Eve, they had everything they wanted. And Adam was a spiritual being. He was spiritual and flesh. He had everything. He still fell. So it tells us that it's not about what you have. It's more so who you are internally.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Excuse me, Apostle.
Yes.
That guy you call Alfred Hitchcock, he didn't come through and said, hey, that you missed his appointment 9 minutes ago.
Oh, my. Alfred, I'm so sorry. Alfred, I thank you for talking to Whitlow and let him remind me that you do come by and try to be with us. Well, I must say tonight, Alfred said you have been very, very naughty, and we cannot finish this episode of how saved are you? You're going to have to tune in next week as we jump into verse number 40. And we're going to share some more goodies with you. I know y'all like Twinkies and Oreos and vanilla and cherry ice cream and all that. Come back next week. We got some goodies for you. You don't want to miss it. In Jesus' name. All right, Pastor Henderson, give us a closing prayer. And then I'm going to let it go. Kimmy Kim, get it hot and popping. That track, we need it. On in a minute.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for our gathering tonight. Father God, we thank you, Father God, each one that have tuned in on tonight. Lord, we pray, Lord, that someone has heard something tonight that will cause their mind to be elevated, that cause their heart, oh God, to be fixed on you, Father God, and draw them closer to you. Father, we thank you, Lord, because you came to make us overcomers, oh God. And we thank you, Lord, with you we can do all things. We thank you and praise you, God, for everything that you're doing, everything that you said you. Let your word abide in our hearts. Cause our hearts, oh God, to be turned towards you, oh God, for we know you're soon to come. Lord, keep us, oh God. Bless us. Hallelujah. Take us higher in you, that one, oh God, who doesn't know you. Help them, oh God, to surrender their heart to you, that they too might be saved. We give you praise and we give you glory for everything you've done, everything you're doing, everything that you shall do in our lives. We give you praise and glory for all that you've said and done tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. We close the voice by tonight by saying, if you're catching hell, don't hold it. And if you're going through hell, don't stop. Go ahead. Go ahead. God has great things for you ahead. God bless you. We love you. Shalom, shalom. Kimmy Kim, do your thing. Kimmy Kim?
You wonder if you made the right choice.
Made the right choice.
You wonder if you're on the right course. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
That's all it is. Just the process.
Just the process.
Just know that you are created for purpose. You are created for a reason. To be the healing balm for someone else. Just know
you are
the healing balm for someone else. And in this life, friends will come and friends will go. And you wonder why this pain day in and day out. Why does it seem to stay? Will these issues and trials go away? But then he'll speak to you. And that's just one word. Trust the process. That's all it is just the process. Not just for a house and not just for a car, but it's for you to be an encouragement for somebody else. Remember that time you was going through, somebody encouraged you. So now it's your time to be a healing balm for someone else. So you wonder why friends walked away. And you wonder why these trials seem to stay. Where these issues and these burdens that I carry day in and day out. And you hear, I hear you, God, trust the process. There's a reason for it all. Just trust us. I've been placed inside of you.
The healer.
that you are.
You are the healing hope.
Yeah.
Someone else.
My own testimony is there was a time in my life where I was homeless. There was a time that I didn't know which way to go. I wanted to give up and throw in the towel. But then I remember my mama saying, Scott, put a song in your soul. Put a song in your spirit. That the going may get rough and the going may get tough. The heels, they're hard to climb. So I taught my choir. The going may get rough.